Welcome back, my friends, to the show that never ends. This is Way Back Playback, episode number 399, as this week we bring you the first half of WCCW Parade of Champions 3. Hello, you people. I am Pat McNeil. I am joined by my co-host, the other half of the watch-along tag team champions of the world, Shane Shadows. Shane, are you ready to hop into the Wayback Machine, return to 1986, and see how many men it takes to defeat the Great Kabuki?
Absolutely, and we're probably rolling up on approximately the 36-year anniversary of this event. By the time we're playing this tape, it ought to be pretty close to that date. Yeah.
By the time you're listening, yes, it should. Nothing like a 36th anniversary. What is that exactly? I know what is 36. What is 36th anniversary? Wax paper or something? I don't know.
Yeah, something along those lines. Something to roll doobies with is what my guess would be. But yeah, absolutely. This was one of my selections, and thanks everybody who voted for the Shane pick. Once again, I appreciate the interest that you have in watching the same things that I like to watch.
There you go. And next week, episode 400 will drop on Mother's Day, so that's perfect. I think it's also Backlash Day, but really it's Mother's Day.
Is that the day of Backlash?
Okay. Yes. Just take my, that's what it says on Peacock. Okay, that's all you have to go on.
I'll believe them.
I'll take their word for it. All right. So, and of course, like to thank everybody listening for getting us back on up the podcast charts in the great nation of Australia. Hi, everybody down under. Thank you. We appreciate your enthusiasm for ECW at Corican Hall. That was a very nice treat. Okay.
Good day, mates. Thank you, mates.
And we're starting a new month over on Patreon, patreon.com/waybackplayback. Some new stuff for the folks to listen to, including the, let's see, what did we do? Global Supercard show. We did another Global Wrestling Supercard bonus episode. And we should have an episode of PWF Florida up by then.
Both of those shows I enjoyed doing immensely. I think you'll find that my level of enthusiasm for that work in particular was pretty strong. So,
no question.
Especially after trying to bounce back after the sleeping episode. Well, of the Corican Hall, but thank you for your patience and coming back to the show, especially with you folks down under. So keep these numbers up, and don't be afraid to contribute a periodic check or money order to us. The patron.
Yes, absolutely. We'll have some. We'll try to have some exciting stuff for you guys up in the month of May as well. Okay, so. Let's get to the exciting part. This is Sunday, May the 4th, 1986. Previous World Class show was Fort Worth, Texas on April 28th. On that show, it was Kevin Von Erich and Brian Adias beating Terry Gordy and Rick Rude by disqualification, and One Man Gang defeating Brickhouse Brown. Somewhere on that show, Kevin Von Erich sustained a severe shoulder injury, which is why he is not going to wrestle, spoiler alert, on the Parade of Champions. He was scheduled to be in the main event and part of the six-man tag. Supposed to be the Von Erichs and the Freebirds. Again, some more. But
I didn't get to see a lot of Dallas during that era.
Right.
They hadn't quite made it onto ESPN yet, which is what my my point of reference would have been on them. But I mean, I was following them from magazines, of course. But trials and tribulations. The interesting thing about Dallas is that if you notice on all their big cards, they are importing a lot of talent. They tended to keep a small crew. I think that the crew was usually about, 8 to 10 guys on maximum on each side of the ledger. Mm-hmm. Baby faces and heels. They didn't want to, sometimes smaller than that. They didn't want to overwhelm it. Dallas kind of got hot by accident, by all accounts. It was a booking office that ran in the state of Texas. Texas had multiple different territories and so forth, but the biggest number of wrestlers came out of the Dallas booking office. But Dallas, in and of itself, hadn't been a particularly powerful city since the early 70s. But when the three young charismatic young brothers got hot at the time that legendary right. Tough Guy father retired, things just kind of, the cash register hit, especially when a couple of young roguish heels from allegedly from Atlanta, Georgia came to town and everything just kind of blew up. But yes. And then they couldn't sustain it. And right. Unfortunately, World Class was more a cautionary tale about young men getting big success without really being ready for it more than anything else. Mm-hmm. Overall in the promotion. But regardless of all that, I'm probably getting a little ahead of ourselves.
Right. Yeah, but as we mentioned briefly last week, this was one of the people who has a World Class podcast described as the last of the big turnouts in WCCW at Texas Stadium in Irving, Texas.
It's amazing to see the difference between of the attendance in between 86 and 87. I think once Kerry had his motorcycle accident, and then you had, in very rapid succession, you know, Kerry's ill-advised return and the overpush of Mike, who was essentially brain damaged by the time he had went through that entire situation with toxic shock syndrome.
Right.
And then you had the fake Von Erich Lance. It was just like they had just burned out the entire state and everyone figured out, like,
this is
a dirty business and we don't want any parts of it anymore.
And it went downhill fast.
Yes. If you ever read the Dave Meltzer, I'm sure you probably have, the very first Wrestling Observer I ever read was the obituary of Kerry Von Erich.
Yes,
which is a legendarily great piece of writing that just basically covers the entire history of those brothers and World Class and how the body count just kept racking up so quickly. Young guys, all in their 20s, 30s, early 30s.
I don't remember the exact week of it, but I know he died in 93, so you have to go somewhere back there to find it.
Well, it's February, I want to say it's February 12th or somewhere, but I believe that the date was like March 1st Observer. But, you know, Kerry was the main event of the very first card I ever wrestled on. Mm-hmm. And I had met Kerry in the locker room in Boonesboro, Maryland. It was about a 400-seat arena. And it was a nice little place. And he actually signed a copy of a Pro Wrestling Illustrated I had with the NWA title on it, which my second wife, I think, burned or destroyed in some form or fashion. It disappeared. I haven't seen it for years.
And hi, if you're listening, June, it's been a long time.
I'm pretty sure she's not listening. Kerry was not in good sorts that night. Actually, the match is on YouTube. I put it up as part of the Shane Shadows Presents Classic Indies.
Well, there you go.
Which is kind of like the second or third, the last match Kerry ever had. And 2 or 3 weeks later, he took his own life. It was pretty shocking for me at that point in time. Because having a guy who was a major star who headlined an event that I had wrestled on in my very first wrestling match to kill himself in that way and make a national news like that, it was pretty shocking. So
mm-hmm. it was grisly. It was awful. And then the hits just kept coming after that. So
yeah, I mean, it's like it was just a bad situation. I mean, it's, again, a cautionary tale. As fun as it is to watch the excitement and how these crowds just go, you can go on Peacock or whatever. You can watch this, or YouTube, your choice, and you can watch this promotion grow from like the early 80s. You can see how the Sportatorium was set up with like the bleacher style seats and only having 2 or 3 rows filled on each side. The TV cameras reaching, you know. And you can watch it grow, and you can see it grow. But when you have the knowledge of what happened to these young people during the course of their biggest successes, it's a story that can loom large, and I think it should loom large for young guys, especially young guys coming up in the wrestling business who. Mm-hmm. who get caught up in all the tales of all, what was the scene like? What was the party scene like? What was the drug scene like? What were the, was the ring rats?
Yeah.
You know, you try to glorify all that stuff. What you're really just doing is covering up for the fact that a whole bunch of young men died because of their excesses and not being able to be put in check by either the authority figures or their father.
Mm-hmm. Especially when they were kind of one and the same there. So, yeah.
Yeah, in large part, you're right. But, you know, Fritz didn't want to, apparently, by anybody who was close to him, just didn't want to admit that Fritz bought into the hype and the idea of him having, like, these four super stud Christian sons.
Yeah.
He bought into his own hype. He fell for his own work.
Mm-hmm.
And he just didn't want to believe that his kids were off doing this stuff. And yeah, it was very easy for him to believe that maybe Gina was doing it. Which again, you were the lines of reality and fantasy.
In wrestling all the time. Yep.
All the time. And that's part of what makes it fun, more fun to watch. But when you blur that line behind the scenes as well, that's things that can become excessively dangerous. And we all kind of say things about current wrestling, but it seems like current wrestling does a lot less of that, which is probably for the best.
Yeah. And current wrestling is, you know, a lot more corporate, which takes, you know, chunk of the fun out of it, but it's kind of one of those things that, you know, everything's a lot more corporate. So
it's not just wrestling. A lot more corporate. Exactly. And that's one of the things. It's also the internet era and the social media era and the communications era. A lot of these guys could do bad things and could disappear into three states over and work under a different name, and they wouldn't be found until they came back. And right nowadays, they'd haul them in 24 hours.
It's not possible.
It's a different world, and you have to understand the context of this, of what made this great, or what also made it fail.
Okay.
I don't think, from start to finish. So,
this is going to be an event. Yes. All right. So the other, let's go into what else was happening in pro wrestling on May 4th, 1986, and actually 86 is there's a lot. So, buckle up. Okay, Sunday, the A Show, WWF is in Toronto at the Maple Leaf Gardens in front of 15,000 people. We were there to see the Intercontinental Champion Randy Savage beat Tito Santana in a no DQ match. And in the main event, it's Hulk Hogan and the Junkyard Dog beating Big John Studd and King Kong Bundy by disqualification when Bobby Heenan interferes. So this quality.
Strong turnout there.
Strong show.
15,000 strong there. Toronto was a great city for them.
Yep. The B Show. B Show is over in Montreal, Quebec, in front of 13,500. There to see their heroes, the Rougeau brothers, defeat Nikolai Volkoff and the Iron Sheik. And in the main event, the WWF Tag Team Champions, the British Bulldogs, defeat Greg Valentine and Brutus Beefcake by disqualification.
Montreal being one of those specialized type of markets that sometimes pop up in North America during that era that were really strong and had special different types of main events because of the regional heroes and so forth like that. Of course, you know, the Rougeaus, who were a talented team. I think they were more underrated than overrated. But
that's
true. They were the big stars there. And them and Bravo. And Hogan was very strong there too. But I mean, you would see a unique mix on top that you wouldn't see in the rest of the country. You know, Rougeaus were not going to be a headline act in Los Angeles. You know.
No, they weren't.
A year or two removed from that real hot angle they did with Roddy and Jimmy Garvin up there too, which would be fun stuff for us to do maybe sometime on the Patriot or international wrestling from Montreal.
We might get to do that. Yes, that'd be fun. Let's see. Okay. Meanwhile, Jim Crocker Promotions, Sunday May 4th, matinee show in Asheville, North Carolina, a lovely town, and the Asheville Civic Center is lovely. On that show, it is the NWA Tag Team Champions of the Midnight Express defeating the Road Warriors by disqualification. And in the main event, the NWA World Champion Ric Flair fights Ricky Morton to a double countout. Then for the evening show. Yep. That would sound like a good show. Then the evening show, they head up to Philadelphia. And on that show, the Midnight Express fight Dusty Rhodes and Magnum TA to a no contest. And Ric Flair versus Ricky Morton also goes to a no contest in the main event. So,
yeah, Rick Morton was super hot during that Rock and Roll Express. Everything they touched turned to gold during that point. Yeah. And in particular, because I know him and worked with him more,
right.
Ricky was just lit up like nobody's business. What a tremendous talent. Great matches they had. That cage match they had at the Bash that year from Charlotte.
Yeah, that when that gets back, when they put that back up on Peacock or back up on YouTube, we've got to do that at some point.
I think it's on YouTube. I thought that whole show was on YouTube.
It's not. I mean, the Greensboro show is, but not the Charlotte show. And we're definitely going to do that at some point. Okay.
Yeah, I want to do that. What a great.
Yeah, not a problem there. All right. Meanwhile, Sunday it's the AWA in Denver, Colorado. And they had a few no-shows, but on that show, it was Larry Zbysko and Colonel DeBeers getting the win over Mike Rotunda and Ray the Crippler Stevens. Barry Windham did not make it, and we'll explain why in a minute. But so Ray the Crippler filled in for him. Mike Rotunda and Ray Stevens. And also the AWA Tag Team Champions, Kurt Hennig and Scott Hall, get the victory over Bill Irwin and Mr. Go, because Mr. Go was in because Scott Irwin he had cancer and inoperable cancer, as it turned out. So
yeah, unable to make. They never talked about that. Of course, we did it. I never remember them mentioning that. And it's like within a year or so, Scott Irwin was gone. And I always was a huge fan of the Long Riders. Mm-hmm. They were Bill Irwin to me was a vastly underrated talent. Right. Could have a good match with anybody, and Scott obviously could as well. He had great success as the Super Destroyer on his own and in a tag team with his brother and as the Long Riders. And yep. Of course, Scott was also a WWF tag team champion at one point. Mm-hmm. He was one of the Yukon Lumberjacks.
Oh, yes.
Yes, and then in 78, which was, you know, maybe an era some people kind of forget, but I mean,
mm-hmm. Yep.
He was a great talent. And it's funny that, you know, I guess you're going to get ready to talk about Barry here in a minute.
Oh, yes. Good guess. The CWF, Championship Wrestling from Florida, did not have a show on Sunday the 4th, but on Saturday, May the 3rd in St. Petersburg, Barry Windham was headlining for them. Let's get through the other stuff. Oh, yeah. Kendo Nagasaki and the White Ninja defeated the Fabulous Ones in an elimination match. And in the main event, a non-title coal miner's glove match, it's Barry Windham defeating the Southern champion Lex Luger.
So that's the night before.
Yeah, that's the night before.
Okay, so he either missed or didn't.
He was gone. I mean, I think he was gone from the AWA. He's like working all the show. He's like, you know, working. He's like headlining four straight nights there.
He appeared on Wrestle Rock.
Yeah.
Again, it was Mike and Barry against
the Long Riders. Yeah.
No, Long Riders, I think, did work with Hall and Henning.
Okay. Yeah, that makes sense.
But I think Barry was there, but I never saw Barry on AWA TV during that time. And I was watching it religiously when they were doing the stuff on ESPN from the Showboat. Rotunda was on there a lot.
Yes, he was.
Period. It's like for about a 6-week period or so, Mike was on the TV pretty regular, and then he went back to Vince. He was with Vince after Barry left with Danny Spivey, and then he went back. He went to Vern, and then he went back again. So,
yep.
Mike had caught that Mulligan Windham bug, I guess, of being sometimes unreliable.
Yeah. I think he might have been more reliable than some people in that family, but. Yeah.
Yes.
Yep. And you know, didn't spend as much time indoors as say Blackjack did or Kendall. Or,
yeah. Yes. Correct.
All right. So Memphis. The previous Monday at the Mid-South Coliseum, big six-man tag, the Mod Squad and JC Costello defeat Phil Hickerson, Billy Joe Travis, and Frank Morrell. And in the main event, it's Jerry Lawler and Joe LeDuc defeating Bill Dundee and Buddy Landell by disqualification. There you go.
The Bill and Buddy Show.
Yep. All right. So those are your that's your main stuff going on in the United States, and that's plenty. That, you know, a lot of I won't say everybody was making money, but a lot of business going on.
There was still a lot of life left in the territory. Mm-hmm. I mean, it was winding down, and some of them were not doing as well as others. I mean, but they were still there. There was still that ability, you know, to go elsewhere if you needed to freshen up. But a lot of the guys who worked in the big territories would intentionally go to small territories territories for 6 months to a year just so they didn't burn themselves out.
Right.
So you could always keep a good mix of well-known talent coming in and out of areas. And, you know, it's hard to dispute that now that everything's a national thing. How quickly does a guy burn out on national TV at this point? And where does he have to go?
Oh, geez. Yeah, if you get a three-hour TV, if you have, for example, a three-hour TV show every week, you know, you're always in a push for ratings, and you're always saying all hands on deck. Yeah. You pretty much have to get yourself injured to get a break.
Yeah, and good talents get buried on that. I mean, it's a meat grinder. Right. I mean, the business has always been a meat grinder. Mm-hmm. You know, it's really a meat grinder. You know, the clock's ticking when you're on national TV.
Yeah. Very true. Let's see. Okay, so the pro wrestling news at this week from the Wrestling Observer. So after a top story, after a falling out with Bob Geigel, Harley Race has signed with the World Wrestling Federation. And I don't remember. I don't think Central States lasted much longer after that. I think the Crocketts took it over.
Well, the Crocketts bought it out for a while and were going to try to use it as like a farm territory by sending in some of the guys. They were, again, Crockett's big thing seemed to be buying territories for their television penetration and running in those areas. You know, with a lesser crew.
Right.
Geigel sold it and then came back in '88 with WWA or something, which was
not good.
No, it wasn't. He didn't have much going on there.
Okay.
Central States was through pro wrestling this week.
Oh yeah, that's right. Well, that's something we can get to at some point. I mean, I've seen some of those, and it's like, we'll probably end up doing it at some point.
It's a fun show if you understand it in context.
Right. All right. So meanwhile, in Japan, a shoot fight between Andre the Giant and Akira Maeda goes to a no contest. As the story is told, that Andre was allegedly drunk and uncooperative, which led to Andre getting kicked a whole lot, and the fight eventually, you know, winding down into a no contest after about 27 minutes.
Did you ever see it?
No.
I've watched it. Him and Maeda. Oh my lord! It's surreal, is what it is. Yeah, I think it's on YouTube. It's surreal.
It probably is. Yeah.
But I also heard the story that Inoki told him to go out and show Maeda up because Maeda, while a talented guy, was a head case and a problem.
Okay.
And had been fired a year before. Mm-hmm. You know, but
I'm going off of Meltzer's version of the story, which, you know, which is probably what the word was at the time. So
yeah, right.
Okay. And the other top story, the AWA is in trouble. Vern Gagne cancels the May show in Chicago due to a poor advance. That's what the headline read. That's actually not exactly what happened. He wound up postponing the May show until June and basically moved all of the shows in the future from the Rosemont Horizon over to the smaller and less expensive UIC Pavilion, where their attendance did not improve.
Right. They had lost. I mean, in the beginning of '86, they were still drawing pretty well.
Right.
But I mean, by this point, in '86, it had fallen off badly. And by, of course, you know, we did the Super Clash show a couple months ago.
Yeah.
A year later, I mean, they had a hard time getting 1,000 people into a building to see just one of the best championship matches of its time.
Yeah, I mean, and this is during the era they were, you know, AWA is headlining with Stan Hansen and Nick Bockwinkel fighting over the AWA title, and you know, and they're not able to draw in Chicago during that. That's That's not a good sign. It's not like Vern had a lot more tricks in his trick bag.
He didn't, you know, I mean, really Vern got a reprieve when he signed the Road Warriors in 84. Yeah. And then people started going over there because he got national TV, because mm-hmm. that was the way the business was heading. And then he was on ESPN. So a lot of guys went there. So the first year or so of that, but then I don't think that he necessarily ran his business. He couldn't change his business model. I don't think that Vern Gagne was as clueless as today's narrative would have him be. No,
but he wasn't adaptable though.
Yeah. He was an older guy. I mean, he was 60 years old, and right. It's hard to switch. So when you've done something one way your whole life, and then somebody, all of a sudden something comes along and you have to change all that.
Yeah.
It's not necessarily an easy thing to do.
Well, the story from Gary Capetta's book, where he's announcing for AWA, and he tries to talk to Vern about something he saw on the ESPN show the previous week, and Vern lets it slip that, yeah, he hasn't actually seen the show on ESPN yet because they charge so much for cable, and he's not going to pay that. Hi, and we're back. I'm Pat McNeil. He's Shane Shadows. How you doing, Shane?
I'm wonderful, Patrick. I'm looking forward to what we're about to take on here.
So we got to talk. First thing we got to talk about is the Wayback Playback Trucker hats.
Absolutely.
The mere $25, and you contact Shane to purchase one.
Yes. Anywhere in the continental United States between now and Easter, and actually, I think we'll extend that deal through. What do you say, Memorial Day weekend?
If you want to extend the deal through Memorial Day weekend, I think we can do that.
I think we can do that. We have that liberty, and I think we're just going to go ahead and exercise it. We're going to extend the deal for your weekend anywhere in the continental U.S. It ships for free, $25. The beautiful brand new logo on a complete trucker hat with the mesh backing. If your head's too big to fit in, I apologize, but otherwise it's adjustable, so you can make it fit.
Well, hopefully we don't have people whose heads are that big, but you never know. Anyway, yeah, we invite you to check that out. Also, I'd like to point out that we have a patron. It's at patreon.com/waybackplayback. And I'd like to welcome our newest member, Andrew from New York, who joined the Time Travelers tier this past week. Way to go, Andrew.
Andrew, thank you so very much.
Yes.
Appreciate the support. To me, when people pay for the extra tiers, it's telling me that they're enjoying what they're hearing on a week-to-week basis. And hopefully I'm contributing something strongly to those type of decisions. So thank you, and tell your friends and tell your family.
Yes, tell your friends about the show and your family. That's always welcome here. Now, something that we are going to do, and something we talked about before, if you're in the Time Traveler tier, the $4.89 a month gets you our shows, the complete archive of our shows, gets you the shows in advance and the shows without commercials, which are three very cool things. We're also going to throw in one of our bonus episodes, just your access to it as a thank you for joining us here on Patreon at patreon.com/waybackplayback. And I'm going to extend this offer through all 3 weeks of our TNA Bound for Glory watch along. The episode that we're going to give you is the bonus episode we're going to give you is the one we just completed, the 2-hour and 35-minute watch along of Heroes of Wrestling, the 1999 pay-per-view that myself, Bob Cook, and Shane Shadows just finished up. And such memorable matches as George the Animal Steel against Greg Valentine, Tully Blanchard versus Stan Lane, and of course, Jimmy Snuka versus Bob Orton, and the main event as it aired on DirecTV. And you can watch along on YouTube. You don't need Peacock or the network. It's sort of the perfect storm for you, folks. If you anybody who wants to see that instead of part two of WrestleMania or in addition to part two of WrestleMania, absolutely, we would love to have you here.
I don't think there's any doubt that the effort is put in here on a week-to-week basis to put the strongest, most observant, intelligent, and entertaining effort that we have between collectively the two of us, which more is the pity. But again, people, we enjoy doing the show. Glad you enjoy listening to the show, and we're going to bring you all kinds of stuff. We've been talking, Patrick and I, we've got all kinds of plans for this program coming up. We're only going to get bigger, Onward and Upward with the all new Way Back Playback.
Because there's no point in doing the show without an audience, and we love our audience, and we'd like to thank you very much. So on that note, let's go ahead and do this. Parade of Champions 3, 24,121 in attendance. According to the Observer, about 17,000 paid. I'm at 0 minutes. I'm on the YouTube version. The account is Classic Wrestling Stuff. Third CCW Parade of Champions, May 4th, 1986. I'm at 0 minutes, 0 seconds, black screen.
Let's roll.
All right, we're there. We're hitting play together in 3, 2, 1. Boom, 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 boom.
Yeah. One of the all-time great theme songs, in my opinion.
Oh, yeah.
Memorable.
It holds up. I mean, you know.
I mean, Brian Lass and Cornette use it every week.
Right. Yep. That's, yeah. And a missing link. And it's being from via satellite. Dun-dun-dun. Okay. Welcome to Texas Stadium, home of the Dallas Cowboys.
I've always liked the look of outdoor wrestling matches like this.
Yeah, I mean, it's the look's great. Doing them is, you know, not always great.
Yeah, they can be challenging. Yeah, you and I have both experienced plenty of this in our time. Bill
Mercer.
Bill Mercer wearing a 1970s style tuxedo and a big mustache and beard out in the Texas heat.
Ladies and gentlemen, Mr. Conway Twitty. Yep, there
we go. Yes. Porter Wagner will be coming out here shortly.
All right. It's an unprecedented situation in our opener.
Mark, look at Reverend Mark LaRance sporting his shades.
He's facing directly into the sunlight with the looks of it.
Yeah, no kidding. Of course, in that half dome, half open gimmick to Texas Stadium.
The dome with a hole in the roof.
Yeah, whatever the purpose of that was, I don't know.
Well, the purpose was so that you could have an outdoor stadium, but the fans in the seats would remain dry if it rained.
Yeah, except for
here's young Mark Youngblood.
Mark Youngblood, Daniel Boone's hat.
Yeah. Oh, Jerry Allen's here.
He was a good talent. I remember Jerry Allen.
South Africa's own Steve Simpson.
We got six-man tag action opening it all up.
No, it's not. No, this is great Kabuki against everybody one at a time.
Really? Oh, wow. Okay. Yeah. Well, there's Bronco Lubitsch. That's my man Bronco right there.
Right.
Anytime it's somebody only goes down on one knee for a three count, we call him Bronco Lubitsch. Oh. So Hayes is the mouthpiece for Kabuki at this point. I really didn't know a lot was going on.
A lot of people working twice here.
Oh yeah, absolutely. You, that's on every one of the Trade Champions cards. Yeah.
Okay. Well, I mean, he's your top heel, so you know.
Yes. And Kabuki had a hell of a run himself. His gimmick was so fresh and unique that it got over in the early 80s, where he was flying in and out of territories, Georgia and Florida and Dallas, and as a headliner. He was like a monster heel, but in reality he's only like 5'6". This is unique booking here. Hayes and Kabuki. I'm glad I picked this already.
Yeah, there you go.
Just for this
can't go wrong.
Now, within a couple of weeks of this, though, the Freebirds roll out and with a whole bunch of other guys and go to work for Bill Watts.
All right. There we go. So Mark Youngblood starting things off against the great Kabuki.
Yes. Did he recently pass away, or was that his brother, Chris?
Mark,
one of the Youngbloods passed away here. Several months.
Okay. I want to say Chris, but yeah. Yeah, well, I'll look it up while we get in here with Mark Youngblood.
Yeah, good fire here, lighting it up. There's nothing better than natural lighting. Even that canvas might be hot.
Yeah.
There's natural lighting.
Canvas might be hot.
Yeah. The sear and the sizzle. Uh-huh. Who was it? I mean, that one time we did that event outside on the 4th of July at 2 o'clock in the afternoon.
That was genius.
They like Yeah, they jumped right back up. Yeah. They jumped right up off the mat.
Yeah, like I was a special referee. I was doing that too. I don't know why I got to be. Yep, I'm a special referee for you and Brian Johnson, I think.
Classic. Really? Okay.
I was there for some reason. I mean, geez.
Yeah, I had that match. Yeah, that might have been a different. That
I wasn't there for the prime rib. That's for sure. Yeah.
Yeah, that might have been a different outdoor card. I was thinking about Riverbend. We did a lot of.
That was a hot one. Yeah. Now the. I know another one you're talking about.
You know, a lot of people were always really flat during the summertime, but we were always busier.
Mark Youngblood's alive. So.
Okay, so Chris died. Okay.
Chris died July, back in July.
Okay. Bronco down to a knee, too. Oh, Kabuki with his foot. Oh, Michael with a slab. This is kind of fresh material, fresh watching stuff right here, and I'm enjoying it. That's awesome. Right. People fanning themselves. What do you think? It's great. May.
It's May. Oh, it's May and but it's May in Tech. It's May in Dallas for crying out loud.
Yeah. Yeah.
I don't care how dry a heat it is. It's still
hot's hot.
Hot as hot. Yeah.
Yeah. And there's Mercer who's gotten hot enough already. He's taken off his jacket. So. Mm-hmm.
Well, smart guy.
Ooh, reverse kick there by Kabuki.
I don't know if Mark Youngblood's going to be able to continue here, fans.
Yeah, you know, my question is where's Gary Hart working at this during this era? Because he was usually Kabuki's guy.
Yeah.
And I have a hard time believing he's working Dallas at this point.
Well, if he was working Dallas, he'd be out there.
He'd probably be out there, but you know, I mean, I just wonder where he was. Was he 86?
All right, I'm looking.
That's an early 86.
He was there in 86, I think. Wait, no, or was he in Georgia or Mid-Atlantic? Hold on.
He wouldn't be in Mid-Atlantic because that would be.
It's short hiatus in 90. He was on a hiatus in 86.
Okay, because I knew he was back by the end of the year because he was handling Abdullah.
Okay. Well, the hiatus may have been due to a pay dispute with Fritz.
Okay, I remember reading something about that in his book. Which is one of the all-time great books that unfortunately.
There we go.
That's going to do it, I think, for Romero Youngblood.
Yeah, Mark Youngblood. So we're going to see what we get here. Don't forget big tag team match coming up for this hour's main event. It's going to be gentleman Chris Adams and Brickhouse Brown taking on John Tatum and the Grappler.
The Grappler, beat it if you can.
Right.
One of my all-time. wasn't expecting to meet guys was the Grappler when he was traveling with Roddy Piper. Mm-hmm. And here comes Jerry Allen.
All right, Jerry Allen's in there. Jerry Allen, I remember his stint as a WWF enhancement guy.
Yes. He also headlined Memphis, I think, for a while, like the year before this. I mean, he certainly had he was in good shape and he moved around good and
look, he's got Kabuki.
Big vertical suplex.
Nice.
Well done. Nicely controlled. The guy's in good shape. He's an athlete.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
You'd love to see that. Here he goes. Whip in. Oh, the back elbow. Nice.
He's a guy by the standards of the time. You had gotten expected to understand about wrestling. Should have been a good territorial headliner.
Right. And suddenly they were running out of good territories to headline, so.
Yes. So, yes.
Okay, here we go. And reversal. Oh! Reversal of a neck breaker.
Yeah.
Oh, and only two. All right.
Bronco's there for us on the count so far.
Yep. Oh, here comes it. Jerry Allen fired up.
Yeah, fist and fury. Big slam. Big slam.
You got to think, missed him there. You got to think all these guys are going to wear down Kabuki here in the end. But, they're all heating him up for Chris Adams, for one-eyed Chris Adams here at the coming in fourth.
Which is, strange positioning for a guy who had been a headline star in this territory.
Right.
he's like, this is a choke.
Yeah. Yeah, but he gets a three count.
But Bronco's just going to keep counting anyway.
And Bronco's got, right. No, Bronco's trying to pull Kabuki off him. Yeah, that's two down. All right, Michael Hayes is going to do it.
Well, you know, you can't really flaw the action in this match thus far. I mean, you can say what you will about the booking.
Steve Simpson's coming in here. He's going to get the next shot. Yep.
You know, I was watching some World Class back around Christmas time, and there was it was like from like 87 to 88, because I like to watch the holiday shows on the holidays. I'm just something like that. Yeah. And there was a third Simpson brother who showed up like this one time.
Was it Bart?
But I'm right
Sean Simpson, Steve Simpson.
It was like, I don't know. It was Festus Simpson or something. I don't know. But it was, they did like a 6-man tag match, like around the Christmas 87, early 88.
Simpson?
I don't know. Yeah. I mean, the Simpsons were like Texas exclusive guys, I guess. I mean, they were supposedly South African, and their dad was a promoter there, but they worked Dallas. And then I guess they worked Dallas's offshoot promotion, which was Wild West Wrestling.
Right.
And
which is one that we have
anywhere else. Yep. Oh yeah, I'm sure. We'll but when you go back and look at Steve Simpson's work, he was not good.
And here we go.
But he fit the profile.
Right. All right. Up. Kabuki's pushing him back. Yep. Good crowd here. The visuals here are great. You know, there's pro wrestling in Texas Stadium, and it looks like there's people there.
Uh huh. But yeah, by today's standards, they'd be, oh my God, there was empty seats everywhere.
Yeah.
Remember, this wasn't a nationally sold and publicized event. This was publicized in the Dallas Metroplex area. Mm-hmm. And whoever retched there, wherever their TV retched, and people didn't travel back then from New York to Dallas and mass to go see one big show.
No, they didn't have these set up a year in advance and selling travel packages and all that stuff now.
Correct.
Oh, but did you get the email with your SummerSlam travel package in it? Did you? I mean, I got one saying, hey, you want to go to Nashville for SummerSlam? Well,
my wife and I were just talking about going to Nashville, but I don't know that SummerSlam. Are they doing it at the stadium?
Yeah, they're doing it at the stadium. Yeah.
Oh, okay.
But they got stadium shows this year.
Well,
that they don't have a problem. They got I think Money in the Bank's in a stadium and SummerSlam in a stadium.
I didn't know that.
Huh, and let's see, when they're doing one in Wales in September.
Oh yeah, that'll be a big one. Back to back with SummerSlam, because at least they are in a different country. So it's
at least you know which show Drew McIntyre is headlining. So.
Yeah.
God bless him.
I guess the one where he comes across like a star, I guess.
If he's not.
Yeah,
had Drew on the show a couple of times. If he's not going to come across as a star there, he's not. It's not going to happen. So,
there's a guy who has everything except for the one thing, whatever that one thing is.
They might have. I mean, if they had a crowd for that one WrestleMania a couple of years ago, might have. I don't know. Might have pulled it off.
Yeah.
Maybe. But yeah, I'm guessing that's where we get Drew and Roman Reigns. So.
Probably, I would think, in a home country type of a scenario there, and at one point or another, someone's going to have to beat Roman. It's just
everybody knows who they want to be the guy. Maybe who beats Roman, but
yeah, which is again, that's
a long shot.
Yeah, it's also backwards booking.
Well, of course it is.
But
okay, he's got up. Oh, nope, Steve not going up yet. Sunset flip.
Oh, good block. He blocked that Japanese claw.
And Steve Simpson gets the victory.
All right.
Oh,
good
no.
Good job, Steve. Oh, and that quickly taken down by
Kabuki. Hayes and Kabuki, yeah.
Yeah.
And where's Chris? Chris Adams is supposed to be in next. Where the heck is Chris Adams? Where's anybody to help poor Steve Simpson?
Yeah, he's taking it too. Texas wrestling was rough. Here he comes. Oh, no, that's not him. That's it is Chris. You gotta take a measure of P.S. Hayes. Mm-hmm. And the people are just still lapping it up.
Yep. Nope. He's gonna fight him back. There we go.
So, it's like they never dropped that angle. They shot that angle with Chris and Gino and with the blinding. And of course, with the week later, the famous two tragic accidents have taken place. Chris Adams is blind and Gino Hernandez is dead.
Yeah.
Yeah. One was a gimmick.
Bury the lead there a little bit. Yeah.
Yeah. One was a gimmick. The other one was all too real.
Uh-huh. Okay. All right. So Chris Adams call. Yep. So in the future, we're going to have to deal with Chris Adams and Great Kabuki. They're going to have a feud, but not tonight, folks.
Not tonight. I think we're going to have to save that one for, Friday night in Fort Worth.
Yep. Makes sense.
Yeah, they had a nice little setup there when you think about it. Yeah.
All right, Chris Adams got his eye on you.
Huh.
Coming up next, Texas heavyweight title. Oh, that's right.
Texas title match.
Yep. All right, Born in the USA playing. They forgot to wipe that, huh?
Yeah. The official babyface theme of 1984 through 1987.
Try 1984 through 2000. Yes.
Well, that's true. Once Kurt Angle's song came out, we didn't need Born in the USA anymore.
Okay, there's Brian Adias, your Texas heavyweight champion.
That's a great, Texas heavyweight champion, Brian Adias. High school track star and...
Master of the Oriental Tool, yes.
Yes, which you would have thought Kabuki would have been the master of the Oriental Tool, but
Thank you. Thank you. Try the veal and don't forget to tip your waitress.
Right. You set him up, I'll knock him down. And his opponent in this one,
Electricity, Steven Regal.
He was there for a cup of coffee, wasn't he? This guy is a great worker.
Yes.
The
other Steve Regal picked a good guy to take his name from.
Yeah. He was on his way to Crockett here within the next month or two as well from this.
Hang out with Garvin,
Yeah. Well, yeah, not only that, but he was NWA junior heavyweight champion for a spell. Him and Denny Brown opened up that one Charlotte card that we were just talking about. But, making his stop here after leaving the AWA.
Regal looking for the Texas title.
Yeah, I'm glad I picked this, and I'm glad that everybody picked it after I selected it, because this is fun. This is fresh stuff for me watching.
Okay, we're all set here.
We're getting ready to rock and roll. Brian Adias, of course, was a challenger, and I think he challenged in '84. He was working for Crockett, and he was part of the group of guys who was fighting over the. NWA junior heavyweight title along with Denny Brown and Mike Davis. Mm-hmm. So yeah, there was some good young guys and
here we go. We got Regal, a former AWA tag team champion at this point.
Yes. Within the last 4 months. I mean, that's just the way territorial wrestling was. Guys moved.
Guys came in, guys left, yeah. If Tony Khan buys a couple more promotions, he can do that. Yeah.
Yeah, you just move his guys around there. Oh, need a clean break here on the wrist. Steve Regal was also, I don't know if he still is. I saw a picture of him recently. He's like, I think he's 69, 70, 71 years old now. He was at one point in time, and he may still be married to the daughter of the late Wilbur Snyder.
Oh, wow.
Who was like business partners with Dick the Bruiser, part owner of the WWA, and was a United States heavyweight champion, a Hall of Fame level caliber wrestler in his own right.
Very true.
One of the early U.S. champions during the 1950s, during the DuPont Network era of pro wrestling.
Yeah. You think there's a lot of wrestling on TV now. The 1950s sort of blows that away.
Yeah, it was on all the time. And they almost killed it. That's what they said they didn't want. That's what it was before the territory started. So the territories only really lasted from like the early to mid 60s through the early to from the mid 80s to the late 80s. So they only, you know, but the most of it was just, you know, national wrestling based out of, you know, being sent to and booked wrestlers booked out to different parts of the country for the shows.
Yep.
What a great history lesson we've had here today. We're done.
Yes, we have.
A lot of talking points here.
All right. Well, like Bill Mercer saying, there's over 30,000 in attendance here. So.
Yes. Well, he's got a wet towel on his head to keep his head from getting burnt. That's a nice touch. Yeah.
I don't blame him.
Not at all.
I'm losing more hair, so I'll probably have to try that soon.
Yeah. Mine's holding up pretty well.
Good. Good for you.
Yeah, everyone always seems envious of that one.
I did okay for a while, then, you know.
Yeah, it happens.
It happens. I know.
I wonder what Brian Diaz is doing these days. I guess, you know, if Kerry Von Erich, I mean, if he was a high school mate of Kerry Von Erich's, a two count by referee Ralph Pooley.
He's happy to be alive?
Yeah, well, yeah. Well, that's first and foremost. But he worked on some of the early global stuff.
Right. They never
really pushed him as anybody, which, you know, kind of surprised me because he had been around.
Okay. Alive and 61 years old.
I was going to say, because if Kerry was 33 when he died and I was 21, okay. About that age difference. That sounds right.
He's currently selling real estate in Texas. So.
Good for him. Good for him. I'd love to have him on the show. We ought to do that. We need to find some.
We just reach out to some of these guys and bring them on.
Yeah, just hey, what can you do? You got an hour to kill with us on one evening? We just like to get your insights. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, Bob Cook was a lot of fun, but I mean, I would like to.
We can branch out a little bit.
Yeah, I think it'd be great if we could have a guy like Brian Diaz on a show like this that he wrestled on.
Yeah.
Tell us what was going on that day. What do you recollect? And some guys have great memories. Other guys don't. You know, other guys want to kayfabe, but, you know.
Well, one guy who will not kayfabe us will be here next week for episode 400, and that's Jim Valley. So Jim is excited. I told him, you know, hey, we're going to have the second half of this Parade of Champions 3 show, and Jim's excited.
Outstanding. I enjoyed doing the show that we did with Jim, and I appreciate Jim's endorsement for me jumping in on this show. Oh, put his head down too soon. Telegraph that one, Mr. Electricity, as he
Matt was Mayer.
He got caught.
I mean, this isn't, you know, 6 stars of the Tokyo Dome. But this is a fine match.
Yeah, this is the second match on the card, which is exactly what it ought to be. The second match on the card ought to be this.
Texas title? Yeah.
Or you know, this is the style of match. But...
Oh, there we go. Big elbow.
He's going to miss. And I was wrong. You're betting on mine.
I wish the full show was available, you know, because there's a couple matches we're going to miss on here, but that's...
Yeah, that's unfortunate. I guess we're going to miss, though. Most notably, we're going to miss the Birdie barbed wire match.
There was no chance that they were going to put that on the regular TV show. So.
Yeah. Yeah, they were kind of not. I remember the fall of 86. Them putting the TV, they had the Cotton Bowl because they did the two big stadium shows here in Texas.
Jim and I did the Cotton Bowl, the 85 Cotton Bowl on a different, on a previous episode. And it was.
Well, I remember 86 was Birdie and Abdullah in the cage, which seemed like that was high, you know, seemed like they, most promotions were not notorious for giving away their gimmick matches on television.
Right. Lord knows we didn't, so.
Well, that's true.
Okay. Yeah, there's what else is that kind of not in there? I'm disappointed that we're not getting that mud match between Missy Hyatt and Sunshine.
I kind of am too. Now that you say that, because I mean,
yeah,
that's I mean, Sunshine was I think Sunshine's underrated when it comes to her level of attractiveness, because a lot of people don't remember.
Right. Well, there is that.
And
let's see. Oh, yeah. Yeah, we're missing Iceman King Parsons and Missing Link against One Man Gang and Skandor Akbar.
Okay.
We don't get that one either.
Yeah, well, yeah.
Okay, well.
There's a lot, I mean, mm-hmm. because of the nature of the territory, I guess, was there was just a lot of unusual matches, especially in tags. Right. Watch the buckle whip here.
Yeah.
I love the way Regal did that.
Oh, yeah.
That was like,
that's great.
It was just a highlight that he always seemed like he hit it like right on the money, too. Big backdrop coming up here. Yep. Yes, indeed. Well done. Well done.
Fewer topes, more backdrops, kids.
Yes. Yes. Work for the fans, not for yourself. Big mm-hmm. suplex.
Right. Well, plus, you know, I mean, if you haven't seen it in a while, it's new to, you know, it's new to these people, so.
Yes.
All right, here we go. Small package. Ooh.
Left-handed referee here, Pulley, which is refreshing.
Yeah, it's unusual, yes.
I'm a left-hander. You're a left-hander too, aren't you?
No, I'm a right-handed.
Okay, I thought you were left-handed.
No. Yeah, how many punches did you see me throw in matches?
Well, that's true.
Yeah.
But there were several of us who were left-handed.
That's Switch true.
I was left-handed. Mm-hmm. Of our crew.
Different crew, yeah. Good crew. And no, kids, it's not Switchblade Jay White. It's a different guy. It's our Switchblade. Who, one of my favorites. You know, I tried.
Great.
Whenever I was booking stuff, I found lots of stuff for him to do. So.
Yes. Oh, a favorite opponent of mine. And
Yeah.
What are we going for here? Victory roll.
Victory roll.
Oh, look at him. Good balance, too, to put his hands up to show the crowd the upper seats. 2-3 count.
You got it.
Adidas, yes. Well played. Well done. Good match. Good pop. Retaining the Texas title.
You're never gonna disappoint with some good wrestling moves.
Yeah, heaven forbid. Yeah, beautiful. Good stuff. Good stuff. Yeah, eventually, of course, Tom Pritchard would win that title and bring it to CPW in the middle of nowhere in West Virginia.
I know. All right, that was another great moment. All right, let's see what we have here.
It looks like it's feature time for this week.
Ah, yes, it is. Big tag team match. Yes, from Florida. John Tatum. Yes, Hollywood John Tatum is from Florida. This makes sense. Well, he's from Hollywood, Florida.
Hollywood, Florida. So, yeah. The childhood best friend of who? Michael Hayes.
Yep. And there's Missy Hyatt.
Good God Almighty.
Yep. Okay.
From Minnesota. Did you read Len Denton's book?
Not only that, I think I sat in when Jim Valley interviewed him on his podcast. So yeah,
that was a great book.
Yep.
I'm pleasantly surprised with how good that one was. Of course, you know, I met him when he was traveling with Roddy Piper. I think I mentioned that earlier.
Yes, you did.
And he came down the steps. I said, "Hi, Lan. It's nice to meet you," and so forth. And he said, "I said, can I ask you a favor?" He said, "Yeah, sure." I said, "Do you have your mask?" He said, "Always." And he went upstairs and got his mask. I took a picture with him.
There you go.
Yeah, I didn't get a picture with Piper, but I got one with the grappler.
Well, I know a guy who traveled with Roddy Piper a lot, and his name was Johnny Fairplay, and still is, actually. So.
Yes. Yeah, I can only imagine. That's not a job for the weak of heart, I guess.
No, we might have Johnny out at one point, and I'm sure he can tell you stories. Yes.
Brickhouse Brown.
If he wants to.
Yeah, Brickhouse Brown snagging the headlock. Brickhouse was,
Grappler's got a handful of hair.
Truth is advertiser. He was solid.
Oh, yeah. Jim was friends with him through Cauliflower Alley. And, yeah, very sad. Very sad when he passed away.
Who, Brickhouse?
Yeah.
Oh, nice headbutt there on the grappler. Yeah. Well, I remember they had the thing, the news broke that he was dead, and they found out he wasn't dead. And then a couple of days later he was, which led me to... to do the Facebook post, "Welcome back, Brickhouse Brown." But a very sad story. Very sad story. And they, several of them died within a couple of days. It was him and Brian Lawler and Nikolai Volkoff. They all died or something like a 24 to 48 hour period.
That was pretty rotten.
A horrible.
I love Nikolai as you did. Yeah.
Yes. Worked with him quite a bit.
Yep.
And, you know.
Total professional. Yeah.
Yes. Oh, he dove right through that. His Brickhouse's forward roll was powerful enough to knock John Tatum off his feet. Right. Oh, Adams with a right hand. He always
it's that low center of gravity. Yeah.
He always threw a great punch, Chris Adams. Chris Adams was a good talent. Another guy, unfortunately, whose problems were just overwhelming. Did I mention that at one point in his career, John Tatum actually worked as Michael Hayes' cousin, Franklin Hayes?
Really?
Yes. Wow. He did.
I'll have to go through my Georgia Championship Wrestling stuff on YouTube.
Well, I don't know that he ever worked Georgia under that
gimmick, by the way, is another one we have to do. So.
Yeah. I think he was working like the smaller Florida territories and so forth like that as Franklin Hayes. But it's like Tatum and Percy Pringle and Michael Hayes and all those guys were like all from Pensacola area. Mm-hmm. Big wrestling fans.
And Percy Pringle, we'll get to see him on next week's episode.
Right. Well, he'll be with Rick Rude. I think Rick Rude is challenged for the World's Heavyweight Championship by Bruiser Brody, right?
Yes, that is. That's definitely the one we'll be pointing to in the in the copy. Yes. I mean, nothing wrong with the Freebirds and Von Erichs, but Rick Rude and Bruiser Brody is that's a deal there.
Yeah. Yes, as Rick Rude was starting to come into his own a little bit. I mean, he certainly had the look and had the body and the. You know, but this was his first big push here when World Class separated from the NWA and they declared him the world's champion.
Fine choice. Oh, nice one there, but
by the end of the year, he's gone working for Crockett.
Right,
man, grapplers all over the place. Mm-hmm. His bumps are killer.
Okay, back comes. Okay, here comes John Tatum. Hey.
They always said Texas wrestling was like a friendly street fight. You can see it in the action. You can see it here.
Mm-hmm.
These guys, I mean, this is almost like the prototype of everything doesn't have to look picture perfect. It looks more like a struggle and a fight. And
that is a good way to describe the heyday of World Class, in fact.
Yeah.
But I was always told that part of that was due to the fact that the Von Erichs weren't the greatest at making it look better, tougher than it was.
Yeah, well, Kevin in particular was notorious for being heavy-handed.
Right. Okay. Crap on Chris Adams. All picks. Oh my! Somebody doesn't like Missy Hyatt. Huh?
Yeah. We just became Facebook friends here.
Yeah, Missy.
The Shane Shadows Facebook, which you can all are welcome to reach out to. And if anybody out there who actually cares about this Twitter thing, add me because I'm really slow on the ads here.
Mm. You know. Okay.
People are not following.
I'll try to reach out here. Yep. I mean, well, you got Bob Keller following you. That should be a hint for everybody.
Damn straight.
Yeah. I mean, if Keller's following you and Johnny Schuyler's following you, then you know you should be set.
Yeah, but unfortunately, it really hadn't taken off. Of course, I don't spend much time on there either.
Well, there's something to do with that. Yeah.
Yeah, because I guess maybe I just haven't completely understood the way it all kind of works. So. I mean, I always
You might be better off.
Yeah, I might be too, and
I need to do something with Instagram too. So.
Yeah. See, and I only added it because I figured it would be once I was becoming more of a quote unquote media personality when I I took on the responsibilities of a co-host of this job, I figured it would almost be part and parcel with it. It turns out that was absolutely not the case. So,
well,
Tatum. Proud of himself here with that knee drop. He caught it. He should have been proud of himself because he bagged Missy. But
well, that's that. Yeah, I mean, geez.
the trophy for overachiever of the year for 1980s.
That's true. You can never take that. You can never take that away from him. So.
I wonder whatever became of his run in '85. He was in at Crockett for a cup of coffee. You remember this? He was on Worldwide. But it's like it didn't last and he was gone. I wonder what that was about. But there was a lot of guys who were in and out during that era while they were trying to heat the Carolinas back up again a little bit.
A mere 62 years old is John Tatum. So, yeah. Retired, yeah. And retired good for a hair. While. That's true. Man's hair was perfect. Let's see. World class now. Let's see. Not even mentioned here in his Wikipedia. Interesting.
What wasn't mentioned?
Him being working for Crockett. Yeah.
It might have been a TV or a couple. Mm-hmm. But I know I saw him.
Right.
But he probably never made it to TBS.
No.
It was like syndicated.
Yeah, let's see. Oh, there we go.
Check out Brick House with a series of rights and lefts.
Jeez. Boom. Very nice.
Good night, nurse. Feed. Good job, John. Feed. Come in. Dropkick. Nice. Brick House had a cup of coffee with Vince, too. Do you remember that?
Yes.
During this summer here of '86, he did like a series of TV tapings, like the Brantford, Ontario tapings for Vince, as I recall. And yeah. It's like, I don't know what.
Did Vince screw up and call him Shelton? Or is that? Yes. Oh no, that was Michael Tarver. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Still funny.
I don't think anyone's gonna be home here. And I was right this time.
Yeah, summer of '86. Let's see. Yep. Worked for the World Wrestling Federation for a while. Then let's see. Then went back to Memphis, and yep, there you go.
Yeah, I don't see Brickhouse as being Vince's type of, yeah, because he didn't strike me as a
not tall enough
jive. No, yeah. He didn't strike me as a shuck and jive kind of guy. I mean, Brickhouse was pretty.
Vince had those guys, you know?
Yeah, he had plenty of them and in spades.
I didn't say it.
No. I mean, that was. That was an accident.
I know. Okay, I know. Horrible joke. Okay.
Yeah, well, that was an accident. I didn't, I don't know. But Brickhouse was, to me, reminds me of a guy who you'd meet on the street who was just nonsense. You know, he didn't strike me as Vince's kind of dancing, you know, fool.
He's not stepping fetch it.
Yeah, exactly. Loading up the boot here.
Oh, here we go. Grappler's ready.
Look out.
Oh, missed.
Johnny's very happy. Spoiler alert. Nice splash over the top. Even Bronco tremendous. Got there in time to make a three count. Yeah. That was a good finish.
Right. Can't argue with that.
We're going to keep the fight going here a little bit.
Here they come. There's Missy.
I got a feeling Brickhouse is coming back with a chair.
That'd just be nice. A hunch. All right. Yeah. Double suplex. Okay, Missy's in. Now what are we doing here?
She didn't have the Gucci bag though. But
no.
I think we're gonna get a little.
Just hit him, John. Just hit him, John.
Johnny just hit him with like a loaded thumb, like the Asiatic. Slap. He's going for the eye. Missy's wailing away on it.
Oh, here comes Brickhouse.
Missy's wailing away on it. You let that one pass.
I did. We're keeping it PG, kids.
Oh, that lady's mad at me. Oh, look at the heat.
Yeah.
Oh, that's beautiful. You don't.
Of course. There's a reason why. Yeah.
Yeah. There you go. This is a shoot. Some marketer.
Right.
She's trying to get her thrown out of the building.
Yeah.
She's mad.
I bet. I don't blame her.
Oh, she's like she was in tears. She was hurt.
All right.
That's a, well, Missy hooked the foot there, but it didn't really work.
All right, we're going to go ahead and call a halt to it at 39 minutes and 11 seconds.
Bored of wrestling podcasts, but still want a little bit of wrestling talk? Well, It's Usually Hello is the show for you. We've got music debates, we've got comedy bits, we have some wrestling talk, we've got watch-alongs, we've got actual celebrity guests. Check out It's Usually Hello, the podcast, on YouTube and on iTunes, and all your best podcast and listening devices. It is, without a doubt, the funniest show in the history of podcasting, allegedly. And that's not just my opinion, that's also the fake opinions of the fantasy people that I see 24/7. Don't forget to leave the 5-star review, because there's only so many fake accounts one person can make.
We would like to thank Gregoire Lormet for the use of his track Run Faster, Jump Higher. You can hear all of his work at Jamendo.com or on his website, musicepique.com, musicuee-epique.com.
Now, the Japanese feed.
Yep, I think whoever did this put a couple minutes of the Japanese feed in there so we could actually see, at least see Bruiser and Terry Gordy in the same ring together. But yep, when we come back, it'll be episode 400. It'll be Rick Rude and Bruiser Brody. It'll be the Von Erichs and Steve Simpson against the Freebirds. And man, I think that's a good episode 400 right there. And yeah, then geez. We'll be
399 was good.
Yeah, so we'll be looking for more of your suggestions. Hit us up on Twitter. I'm at Real Pat McNeil. He's at One Only Shane Shad One. Say hi to Jim Valley. He's at Jim Valley on Twitter. And you know, while you're there, you know, while you're on the internet, go ahead and leave a 5, 6, or 7-star review for our podcast here on iTunes, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, wherever you're getting this from. It doesn't matter. We can use all the good reviews we can handle. And, of course, if you'd like to know more about Missy Hyatt, Mark Youngblood, Great Kabuki, Jerry Allen, or Michael P.S. Hayes, you can visit pwtorch.com, f4wonline.com, or The Wrestling Observer. Or you can go download your local library app, because they're all in books. Shane?
Same way back time, same playback channel.
We will do that next week. And, boy, it's going to be a lot more fun from Texas Stadium. And then we get to look forward to the next 400 shows, Shane.
Absolutely. Pace ourselves. We had better.
All
we're
right.
Breaking our 50s. Yeah.
That's right. Well, welcome to May. And yep, it's going to be a long, hot Wayback Playback summer, boys and girls. So be ready. Until then, yesterday is history. Tomorrow's a mystery. Next week is another episode. Good night, everybody.